Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And if you've just tuned in to Kaya Point of View 959, we are talking about several issues, the latest on coalition talks and, of course, news about the eThekwini mayor in KwaZulu-Natal being redeployed. But this time, we bring a different lens to KwaZulu-Natal. We're looking at relief efforts and costs as a result of flood damages. Ntembi Nkadimeng's cocktail mister to tell us a little bit more about the latest. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Good evening to the viewers. The listeners, rather.
I actually thought this would be a good teachable moment. I know a lot of listeners will be asking this question. Why are you calling her cocktail minister? According to the constitution, can we call you minister? What are the arrangements around that, the legal constitutional arrangements after that post-elections?
Well, yes, you can still call me minister, and not only minister. Nkadimeng, Minister Kugai, Minister Kele, Minister everybody. Until the process has been finalized with regard to the end of. So, say there's disaster tonight. You are not in the vacuum. Government still carries the responsibility of ensuring that we carry the functions. I was in the city of Thekwini today on a ministerial visit to declare a state of disaster at a national level, which appropriate them funds to be able to repair the disaster. The processes. Of course, immediately the seventh administration, the SOAM kicks in the constitutional obligations of the new term of the seventh administration then commences.
All right. Thank you for that clarification, Minister. So let's talk about the latest about storm-related damage and the situation in KwaZulu-Natal. What is the current picture? What is the latest on that?
Well, as I said, for both the KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, recall almost at the same time, Eastern Cape experienced the excessive flood in the areas of Amatol and Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela Bay. So both the provinces have received the classification from COCTA, which puts the status of the and the level of that disaster at the national level. Meaning as a national disaster, meaning that jointly ourselves at a national level and the province, including the municipality, must then reprioritize their funding in their budget to ensure that they put the beneficiaries who are now affected by the tornado in the KZN instance to be able to benefit into the repair of the damage that has happened. So schools will then be allocated, roads will be allocated, health facilities, social development will issue beyond what they are paying as part of, for example, a normal pension grant or a normal child grant. But you will find that we issue groceries, we also issue tokens or vouchers for once we rebuild, we give a voucher for the family to be able to try and get the perishables, food, and all that, and get their life back in action. Human settlement will then also be in the fray in terms of infrastructure repair, in terms of also temporary houses and ultimately permanent houses for the people who have been affected by the flood.
You, Minister, have lamented the fact that you feel that you did not, as government, move as fast as was required when it comes to the devastation of these natural disasters. And I'm just wondering, in terms of the National Climate Change Adaptation Strategy that I know you've also been working on, we are expecting and we're seeing a great deal of the frequency of these floods. Does that mean that you need to move fast in terms of the pace of the law, your design and development of cities, and even the assessment and management thereof?
Well, yes. I must actually indicate that with regard to response rate in KZN, I was satisfied. The complaint I had was last week when I visited Gently with the province Premier Oscar Mabuyane to Nelson Mandela Bay. Nelson Mandela was not ready and had not assisted people and not evacuated others and had even passed 72 hours. The province was already on site, but the municipality was not necessarily at the level in which it should have been. And remember, the provincial and any assistance that can is to help a municipality where these people are residing. With respect to KZN, almost less than 12 hours to 8 hours after the tornado had struck, the systems in terms of jog, the distribution, the ready halls, sponges, blankets, and everybody to create shelter. As I was there today, I left with the contractors from Human Settlement already starting to rebuild, transition what they call TRUs, which are temporary households, because predominantly of the shacks that were demolished were in a land where people were not even permitted to build in, for starters. So we're going to be rebuilding there, but rather to be, the land has been allocated already in the phase two. I think it's called Greenland or something. I forgot the extension of the township there, which is almost ready, and Human Settlement will begin to build permanent houses and ultimately move them there. It does not help for government to rebuild where you are if it's in a wetland, because it means the investment you are putting, as you correctly say, the climatic conditions, particularly of the areas in Ekurhuleni, Kwadugusa, Tongaat, South Coast, Oop, right all the way to Alfred Duma, Newcastle, Matateng, and you go to the Eastern Cape, no Port St. John's, we know Buffalo. So we are using the risk reduction strategy which informs us on how to rebuild. The area where I was at today, Makwaveni, was formed in 1970. So the first of its kind, but it used to be a farming land, very fertile, soft soil. In fact, the old man was explaining to me that why is the place called Emakwaveni. So he says when they arrived there, started building in the late 60s, it was agricultural land full of vegetation. And subsequently people moved and stayed there. And portion of it, it's a wetland and it's not for human residence. And it's better for the municipality jointly with government to move them to a suitable space. Mm-hmm. So I think the reduction strategy is very clear. The relocation and all that is very clear. The cost, final costing, the city will be providing it to National Treasury, hopefully by Monday next week. But I've given them a due date of tomorrow afternoon for us to verify so that we could be able to begin in earnest. But there's a civil society assisting, as government is on site. Home Affairs is reprinting and verifying people. COCTA is assisting Human Settlement jointly to go physically into those spaces. Those who have lost only the roofs, already Human Settlement is providing material for them to be able to rebuild.
Okay. Allow me to jump in and ask you this, because you're talking about the risk reduction strategies. Some of the suggestions that have been made, and I want to know if this is part of your resilience planning, flood retention basins, apparently they'll be able to temporarily store excess water during heavy rainfall. But apparently the inadequate waste collection and inappropriate disposal of garbage has also been cited as a problem, saying that it blocks drains, worsening the impact of heavy rainfall. Are these within your bird's eye view of problematic areas that you are tending to?
Look, the risk reduction strategy is in two. It's in how you are building forward and it's how you are redressing in areas. For example, Ematadeni, Lady Smith and Nambit. Those are towns which were built years before the climatic condition, but we're sitting with studies today. Port St. John's in Eastern Cape, which tells us there are portions of the towns that we need to move altogether. And government is preparing. For example, if you recall the floods of April last year, about the entire town of Newcastle was flooded, and literally flooded shops, everything, which means the portion of those three streets is not supposed to be where there is life today. So that's what the reduction is about. You will have to relocate, you will have to re-strategize and redirect water in the creation of canals. Where we were in Mandela Bay, we are building an extra canal which is going to channel the second part of the river in the direction which does not bring water, or the water direction towards the houses where it was. It's part of ensuring that we prevent. The settlement was also built in 1962. So it's how you have settlements which are old, which are not necessarily aligned to our strategy today, but there are mechanisms in how you could deal with that. If you talk to human settlement today, they're not building the houses the way me and you used to. There are mitigation strategies for disaster on how brick and mortar is being done to alleviate further destruction, or for the house to be durable extra any time in case the weather is inclement and it's more heavier in terms of the wind. Of course, it's man-made. It can be able to sustain nature to a particular degree. But the South Africa is part of the Paris Agreement, which gives us, including our South African weather services, we're always alert. We have early warning systems because the country has got all the latitudes which have been placed strategically by weather services to be able to pick up all the inclement weather.
So that's what I'm trying to understand. As you say, you have a plan and you're working with other government departments in your green spacing. Does that mean mixed-use development and perhaps the discouraging of an urban sprawl? Migration studies have told us people are still crowding urban areas.
Well, yes, we encourage. As I'm saying, yes, a portion of the area of Makwabeni where I was built in 1970. But a portion where the shacks are, and there was a huge damage, was an area where municipality even issued notices for people not to build there. And you do get encroachment that happens. In some instances, our people cooperate. In some instances, they do not. Even in terms of an early warning, in Komazi, for example, somewhere around April, we receive an early warning, and we are supposed to evacuate people. We lost two lives, and they refused to be evacuated.
You know, so to date, how many lives have been lost in both provinces as a result of these natural disasters?
Well, in Makwabeni, it's around 8 in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. In Eastern Cape, we were at around 10, but we're still missing a body, if you will recall, as of yesterday. Still, I might not be having an update of today. There was still one person unaccounted for and missing. There was a vehicle which fell into the river, and it had two occupants. It was washed away. Only one person was found. And the search, as of yesterday, was still continuing for that person. So possibly the fatality in the Eastern Cape would increase to 11 if we do not find the person alive.
I'd imagine some of the challenges you face in the civic education is the reality that a lot of people go to urban areas because they're looking for jobs, and thus the large creation of informal settlements. And because of the logistical aspects in terms of our transport matrix in South Africa, people find it easier to move to certain areas. So how do you negotiate this in terms of a government that works together, where while urban planning is doing one thing, you have human settlements doing another, but in the economic growth of a country, it ensures that you prevent some of these pulling issues towards people doing these things?
Well, it doesn't happen like that anymore. As part of our risk reduction, there are two centers of government that releases land. The third one being the communal land, which is in the custody of traditional leaders, which rural development holds on behalf of government. And then it is municipalities and the Department of Public Works. So human settlement, for example, work with these three parties. In this instance of Makwabeni, land is availed by the municipality. So in each and every settlement, not unless it's a formal, it's a settlement which is not formal, where people have allocated themselves, which mostly now happens in private land, private-owned land or private-owned farms, where people mostly settle themselves in those spaces. But government is so aligned now, all government land is in the three hands. The custody of the state is public works. The custody of the two communal land is rural development and municipalities through the Department of Court. And all of us sit in a joint operation community, which we allocate land, we plan, which gets to be approved by the Surveyor General, which sits in rural development for all the formal settlements. So there's no chaos. There is no chaos at all. So even the alignment of who services the land is clear very well in terms of who puts services. There's a portion of a grant which goes to human settlement and a portion which goes to municipalities. They can jointly plan and jointly co-fund the development of that area, because not in every land we build RDPs or a human settlements, which is provided by Minister Kubai. You find that me and you, who also could buy and could develop as developers. So municipalities also have a responsibility of putting services. In terms of the response rate also of reconnecting people where there was water disruption, our target as part of the Paris Agreement is that in 72 hours that would have happened. And in most instances, we are able now to meet that target. Not unless, for example, as the damage happens, then you find that our pipes also get to be stolen, particularly cable wires for electricity. And that will set you a bit back, because you have to order or get into the stock and reconnect the area. But our target is aligned to international standards.
Thank you so much for speaking to us and sharing the latest developments on those natural disasters in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. That's Thembi Nkadime, the COGTA Minister. As she explained to us, she is still Minister, as are the rest of the administration, until the 7th administration kicks in. So we are talking about the floods in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, the weather patterns impacting on infrastructure, people's lives. If you are there and you want to share with us your personal experience or of those loved ones, perhaps what Minister Nkadime is saying, that they are very much ahead of it in terms of urban planning. They're working towards it. Yes, there are areas of weaknesses. What are your thoughts? So we spoke about the ANC earlier on announcing that it is redeploying Xolisi Kaunda to the National Council of Provinces. He was the mayor in eThekwini. As you heard from political analyst Thembi Safakude, there were complaints about his running of that municipality and the lack of service delivery, excessive billing. He mentioned quite a number of things, including, we know what we know, plagues KwaZulu-Natal, that is high unemployment rate, something we've seen across the country, and high levels of crime as well. We're actually warning, saying that KwaZulu-Natal is losing a lot of skills because of the insecurity in the province. We'd like to hear from you, Mkaya. Talk to us on X at Kaya on Air. The phone line is 086-000-00959. We are on WhatsApp. You can send your voice notes there on 0636-880-959. And you can also send us an email if you'd like. That's a point of view, POV at kaya959.co.za. I am Sipiso Makwetla. Standing in for Pimela Mutene, who is out this evening and tomorrow for Point of View. We'll have quite a number of things to talk about in the next hour. Deputy Health Minister and the Department of International Relations and Cooperation says it will continue its efforts to protect Palestinians against genocide. And remember that Dr. Naledi Pandor has been spearheading this along with her colleagues from a South African perspective, but she, we hear, is not going to Parliament. What does this mean for how this whole effort is going to be shaped, the personality behind that? She's been applauded from some quarters for her calm, articulate nature, while others have been critical of her. Your thoughts? It's 9 o'clock here on Point of View, Kaya 959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.